Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hi, this is Billie Jean King.
This is Marion Bartoli.
I'm Mats Wilander.
This is Mary Carillo.
This is Yannick Noah, and you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
So it's Tuesday evening, and two of our four quarterfinals of the 2021 Davis Cup are done and dusted. The non-Madrid-based portion of proceedings are done and dusted. The road to Madrid, as it is written on the courts, or has been written on the courts in Turin and Innsbruck, has been travelled. And it has been travelled in its entirety by Croatia, who won through over Italy last night in Turin, and most recently, just minutes ago, by Germany, who won through in very dramatic fashion over Great Britain in Innsbruck. We'll be covering both of those ties, but we will also be covering the bitter business from Sunday night that we were unable to bring you because it finished so darn tooting late in the evening. And that was that Russia ended up beating Spain in the doubles. Feliciano Lopez, David, was not able to do a Queen's 2019.
No, he sort of did it until we pulled the plug. I think you must have sensed that we'd just ducked out and deserted him. And actually, and Andrei Rublev, I think maybe took a little bit of offence at some of the kind of desertion of his abilities as well, and decided to play out of his mind for about half an hour. It was an incredible day, what Lopez did, but Russia showed how much strength they have all the way through that team. And if one of them doesn't get you, the others will in the end. And that's why they're favourites, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Rublev was thrashing at the tennis ball in that doubles. I mean, usually doubles is about finesse and tactics. No, I don't think they were doing any symbols. It was just thrash at the ball as hard as you can from Rublev. And it worked. Russia won that doubles. And that meant that they topped Group A and set up a quarterfinal against Sweden. That'll be our next quarterfinal on Thursday. And it also meant that Spain were eliminated from the competition, with Serbia qualifying as one of the best two runners-up. And they will face Kazakhstan in the quarterfinals in Madrid on Wednesday. Sorry, that'll be the next tie that we watch. So Spain are no more in the competition, Matt. How has that affected the vibe in Madrid? I know it's been hard to sort of sense the tennis vibe, but with all the dinners you've been having and the churros you've been eating. But in between that, have you been able to stick your finger in the air and detect a vibe?
I've been rumbled. I've not even been to site the last 2 days.
There is no site the last 2 days. It's all been going on in Innsbruck and Turin. You can do whatever you like.
Right, yes. So I don't know is the answer to that question. I mean, look, I think as we spoke about, I think this format works best in a way when you've got home nations there. So part of me was hoping Spain would go through, but then also part of me was thinking, well, the alternative is to keep Novak Djokovic in the competition. And part of this competition also works brilliantly when you've got the best players. That I believe that's one of the main reasons why they changed the format in the first place, to get more top players playing it. And credit to Novak Djokovic. He's committed to it both times. He's really committed to it this year, made a point of it. And yeah, here he is joining us in Madrid. He was here way less than 24 hours later. He was on the practice court 24 hours later here in Madrid. And something I did hear from site was that lots of the players here, lots of the Kazakhs, lots of the Swedes actually went out to watch him practice. Maybe partly just to scout them, I suppose. But also I think Djokovic was sort of in town and they wanted to get a bit of a glimpse of it. And I'm wondering whether we'll see more press here now. I wonder whether some Serbian media will come over to Madrid and cover it. And hopefully that will mean I'm not on my own in the press conference room firing multiple questions and getting called out by players.
Which players?
Well, I say players. Player Alexander Bublik. It's a massive press conference room they've set up here. I mean, I cannot tell you, it is huge and it's all socially distant seats and it's just me sitting in there on my own.
How do you sit in the same seat every time? Or do you mix it up?
I always sit on the same side. I always feel like front row's a bit awkward. I tend to go to the second row. Anyway, each time you want to ask a question, you have to be handed the mic. So you get the mic, ask your question, and then someone comes and takes the mic from you. So this is a process that goes on about seven times in my press conference with Bublik because I asked him seven questions. And after the seventh question, he said, "Geez, man, how many questions are you going to ask?" Which, I must say, was a surefire way to make sure that was my last question.
Did you have further questions that you were burning to ask?
No, I was stretching it to seven, to be honest.
I really want Kazakhstan to stay in the competition now so that love affair can continue. Why don't they just, if you're the only bloke in the room, Matt, just give you the mic, let you go a cappella?
That would be nice.
Did you get any nuggets out of him?
Well, what I was asking him about really is Kazakhstan's commitment to this competition and their consistency in it. You know, I mentioned on the podcast the other day, the last 10 editions of this event, they've reached the quarterfinals six times, which is an incredible record for a nation that don't have lots of top players, that aren't, you know, one of tennis's powerhouses really. But in Kukushkin and Golubev, they've always had solid players who've really, yeah, committed to the event and had some of their best results and moments in this competition. And what I found interesting was that attitude has reached Bublik as well. You know, he speaks in exactly the same way that Kukushkin and Golubev do about wanting to play this competition, wanting to represent Kazakhstan. It's like they've all had it drilled into them how much it should be.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it suspiciously similar lines being toad? Because I mean, it's fascinating me, the Bublik one, because he went and played in Tokyo as well, and that decision surprised me at the time, because he's a guy that's, I mean, whether he really means it entirely or not, or whether there's a partly Nick Kyrgios thing going on, he's always said, "I'm doing this for the money, you know, the money is the most important thing to me," in which case you don't bother going to the Olympics when you could be playing Kitzbühel or it's always Kitzbühel that gets a hammering from me. Insert ATP 250 here, you know. It's an interesting one. I do wonder what the setup is in Kazakhstan. I know they're a country that's invested heavily in hosting sports and bringing sport to that country as a sort of a soft power PR thing for the nation, which isn't unusual. But I do wonder if, you know, as a part of the deal of receiving Federation money, I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe they just love Davis Cup.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've wondered the same thing. I mean, obviously, Davis Cup finals does have prize money, quite a lot more prize money than it used to have. I think all the teams that qualify here for the quarterfinals get just under $1 million to split between them, I believe. So, you know, there's pretty hefty prize money involved here. But you know, he didn't say that was the reason. And given he has sort of spoken very openly about how much the money matters to him, I suppose he wouldn't be shy about saying it if that were the case. So I do think there's potentially something else going on there with Bublik. And it's just interesting the sort of distinction he draws between how seriously he takes the ATP tour. He said, look, there are 10 weeks of the year really where I play badly and I know I play badly and my attitude's poor. But he said, whenever I turn up for Davis Cup, it's not like that. I really do take it seriously from the beginning, practice court to match court. There's just people you don't want to let down. So I think it's probably good news for Kazakhstan that that has reached Bublik, because I feel like he does have the potential to push them on a little bit in this competition. He's the guy with the most talent I think they've probably ever had. You know, whether he can harness all that and fulfill all of that, let's see. But it's interesting having him sort of in the mix there for Kazakhstan.
In the mix, you say? Who is it, the captains that decide how that million gets divvied up?
Pass, but that would be fun, wouldn't it?
Please find out. If so, how many of that million, how much of that million, David, would you give if you're the Croatia captain? Who knows, you could be one day, to Borna Gojo.
Well, I think if I was the captain, I'd just have most of it. But yeah, Borna Gojo really deserves a good old bonus. That much is clear. This is not the first time he's had a moment in the Davis Cup, is it? Because 2 years ago, he played very respectably against Rafael Nadal, I remember. I think it was 6-4, 6-3 or something like that. And he's just this strapping, wide-shouldered, big bloke who has an enormous game.
Is the word you're looking for, David, agricultural?
Yes, it is, actually, Catherine. Thank you for going back 3 years in my mind to when I said that about Stan Wawrinka. And it kind of is. And I looked up his ranking whilst he was winning his latest rubber. I mean, this is two rubbers he's played and two rubbers he's won in the Davis Cup now in these three matches. He didn't play in the second tie, which in itself I find quite interesting that he didn't get selected. And so he's unbeaten. And yet he's ranked 275 in the world. And I just don't understand that. And I went over his results this year. He's played in a lot of big event qualifying competitions and just not got through. And that's the thing, you can just end up stuck. Now, I don't know what his attitude is like week to week, whether he just struggles when he's maybe not surrounded by a team and friends and a camaraderie and crowd and all the things that he was enjoying while he was playing a couple of days ago and beating Lorenzo Sonego, who was whipping the crowd up and loving it. And Gojo just did not back down for a second. And he was a worthy winner. He really rattled Sonego, because Sonego was veering between these moments of inspiration and just tight tennis. You could see him visibly tightening and leaving balls short or putting them out. And I just don't understand how Borna Gojo is not a player that we hear of in between Davis Cup ties sometimes.
And he mentions that Nadal match from a couple of years ago. I think his line was that he took a lot from that. You know, it was 4-4 in the first set. It was really close. And he said his line was, if you can hang with Nadal for 50 minutes or whatever it was, you can hang with anyone. So he has taken some belief from that. I think he's had some injuries, obviously the COVID interruption, you know, hit all players, but I think lower ranked players especially. I think we spoke about it a bit during the Billie Jean King Cup, didn't we, when we saw Storm Sanders playing really well and Françoise Abanda playing well, that, you know, it's not like these are bad players. The level is there, and getting your ranking up is not necessarily just about ability. You know, you can just get stuck there, the grind of it. I think they come to this event and everything is set up for them to play their best tennis. You know, they've got access to a coach, they've got someone sitting on the court with them, they've got teammates for support, they've got physios, you know, they just get treatment that they're not really used to. And I think it can often bring out the best in lower ranked players in these environments. And someone like Gojo as well came through the colleague system, I think, as well. He said he's spoken about liking being part of teams and not being put off when the opposition team's heckling him or there's drunk fans, he said. In colleagues tennis, he said it was nothing, the crowd in Turin, compared to what he's used to. So sort of the environment certainly suits him. And I'm fascinated now whether he can transfer that to the lower levels, you know, Challenger Tour and some of those qualifying events.
I remember Cameron Norrie saying that when he first broke through. I think the first tournament that I became really aware of him was when he won the opening round at the US Open a few years back. And he hadn't been on the British tennis radar because he'd gone through the US college system. And he played on an outside court and it was really rowdy. It was one of those, you know, it was sort of late evening. You could smell the sticky beer and the honey juices in the air. And he said, oh, this is just par for the course for me. I was made to play tennis in these kind of conditions, regardless of who the crowd is for. So I do think, you know, the college system does gear you up for that kind of thing. And look, he's only 23, isn't he? And players that go through that US college system do tend to break through later, and you know they have it in their canister for longer potentially. So yeah, who knows, but definitely, David, we're giving you the benefit of the doubt that when you said I'm picking Croatia, because logic has it with Davis Cup that if you've got one good singles player and a great doubles team, that's enough to win. And I know that by one good singles player, you meant Borna Goyo. That is definitely who you were talking about at the time, isn't it?
And not Marin Cilic, who's lost his last two rubbers. I mean, he did win his first one, but, you know, and he got himself into a winning position against Jannik Sinner. He was a set and a break up. It was all going well. He was playing beautifully. And look, Cilic's level right now, when he's playing well and when he's not tight, is really high. It's just that, unlike, you can see the difference of Goyo, who doesn't have all of this baggage. Okay, he hasn't got anything like the level of achievement that Cilic has got, but he hasn't had all these difficult defeats and memories of losing from winning positions that Cilic has gotten. You can see them just enter Cilic's frame while he's serving to win these matches. And he was serving for that match, wasn't he? And he couldn't handle it, really. Now, Sinner also, I should say, did take that from him as well. But it's at least part of one and part of the other.
Sinner probably smelled the same blood that we smelled, didn't we? You know, as soon as there was some discussion in our WhatsApp group along the lines of, I mean, I don't think any of us thought that he was going to serve that out, did we?
Well, I probably thought he did because I'm an optimist for him. And yet you moments earlier were saying, I'm having anxiety
it was about 2-2 in the second set. And I said, I'm having pre-anxiety about the prospect of Cilic having to serve this out.
Yeah, I think he got a breakup and immediately you were onto that. And I just sort I don't know, I thought he would get over the line and he didn't.
The thing is,
David,
the thing you say about the level, I think that's always been the case and is the case for a lot of players that lose form and ranking as they get old. You know, Federer says, never forgotten how to lose tennis, doesn't matter what injuries hit me or whatever. The shots don't go. Okay, if you lose physical conditioning or you get injured, the physicality might go, so you're in less often in the perfect position to hit the shots. But I think more often than not, taking that away, it is the mind that takes over and causes the problem. There's absolutely no logical reason why Marin Cilic would have forgotten how to play tennis or become a less good tennis player than he was when he won the US Open. Okay, he might be a fraction slower, but he looked pretty quick to me, actually. I was really impressed by his movement yesterday against Jannik Sinner, who is lightning quick. I thought 6'6" Marin Cilic held up pretty well by comparison, but you can see the extra wiggles coming on the pre-service motion. It's all just, he doesn't even have the bodily equivalent of a poker face, does he? It's just ripped so large. And it was tough to watch for him.
So much twitching of that leg when he's about to serve. Oh, it makes me uncomfortable just thinking about it. I must say, credit to Jannik Sinner. You know, he's taken up residence in Turin, really, these past couple of weeks, hasn't he? And I think he's played 5 matches now, 2 in the ATP finals, 3 here. And the only one he lost was a deciding set tiebreak to Daniil Medvedev. That's a really impressive couple of weeks from Sinner. And I'm really interested to see what he does next year and whether he has taken something from the experience he's had and using the crowd. And look, he's obviously not going to have the Italian crowd every week, but you know, he's going to have support. He can use it. And I've just really enjoyed watching his sort of on court demeanor these last 2 weeks. And it feels like a progression in his career.
He's a different guy, different guy.
Showed you something different, didn't he, Catherine?
Absolutely.
Because I know, I mean, we were debating the other week about how excited are we about Jannik Sinner generally? And I'm quite excited and I love his tennis, but there is a feeling that, you know, he doesn't give you much. He doesn't.
I felt a bit metronomic winning of titles about him. I could see that in the future. But yeah, I think this is a different kettle of fish, Jannik Sinner. This prospect.
He showed in the way he's embraced it, I think, how much he wants it, how much he wants to be the best. He doesn't want to just be a top 10 player. He wants to go all the way, and he's prepared to probably go a bit out of his comfort zone in order to get there.
Wasn't enough, though, was it? The Italian charge, Jannik Sinner's charge in the doubles as well, it wasn't enough because Croatia had the world number one doubles pairing up their sleeves. Nikola Mektic and Mate Pavic did the business for the Croatians. And they beat Fabio Fognini and Jannik Sinner to set up a semi-final with either Serbia or Kazakhstan. So I love it. I love it when the doubles matters in Davis Cup. I love it when it comes down to the doubles, even in the GB tie we were just watching. Obviously, from Great Britain, I wanted Great Britain to win, but I still wanted Germany to win the second tie so that it would go down to a decisive doubles rubber, because that's what sport's all about, isn't it? Sports entertainment, and that would provide the greatest competition and entertainment. And I love that both of these two ties have come down to the doubles.
And that's where, to my mind, there's a lot about this format that still needs work, but that element of it, the fact that it is best of three rubbers and the deciding one, if it's one all, is a doubles. And particularly once you get to this stage where it's knockout and you've got just one tie per day, this really works as a viewing spectacle. I know that there's a problem with lack of crowd today, but even because the benches were so loud and the tennis was so exciting, I was okay with it as a TV viewing experience. And so that's 2 days in a row where it was way too much tennis for the first 4 days and then just the right amount the last 2 days. I sat there the last 2 days. I mean, I'm married to a Croatian, and so my kids are half Croatian, half British. So the last 2 days, we've just sat on the sofa for 7 or 8 hours just watching, totally engrossed in these matches, and the kids going crazy for it, and the doubles just owning the show. And it's such an exhilarating format of the game, which needs moments like that. It needs to matter like that.
See, Matt, all it takes to get David Law happy again is knockout tennis.
He's a different person.
I tell you, I loved it. And it makes me think that, look, I'm really worried about this idea of it going to Dubai. About it going to Abu Dhabi, which is what is being reported and which is what we're all expecting to be announced on Sunday. But if it wasn't going there, the actual format of this thing has got legs, really. There's work that needs doing. But these 2 days in a row, and I can't wait for tomorrow with Kazakhstan and Serbia, and then the final one as well. You know, it's really good, this stuff.
Just to sort of put a bow on the Italy Croatia tie, hadn't really sort of realized the knock-on effect of having such a strong doubles team up your sleeve. I never really thought about it, you know, but actually I really think it affects those first two singles matches. Like, I think Sonego was stressed. I think he knew that he probably needed to win that match, because waiting in the wings, you've got Mektic and Pavic. And yes, okay, possibly Sinner and Fognini might have beaten them, but the odds are that Mektic and Pavic are going to win that. So I find it interesting, the sort of dynamics at play that it has throughout the day. And for Mektic and Pavic, we sort of sometimes just talk about it as though they're guaranteed to win. But, you know, the pressure is on them, you know, Croatia relying on them, and they just delivered. And I thought that was really impressive. They really targeted Fognini's serve. I read that they won 26 points on return, Mektić and Pavic. 23 of those points were off Fognini's serve and only 3 off Sinner's. They just sort of targeted it. And that was clearly the right tactic. Really impressive from then. Just one last thing that I think we should mention. There was a sort of sad side story attached to this tie, and that the longtime Italian team doctor of the Davis Cup team had died that day. And there was a minute silence before the tie, and Fabio Fognini in particular, I think, was very close with him. He posted on Instagram today that he was like a second father to him. And after the national anthems were played and the minute silence were observed, he said he went to the locker room and wept, you know, to be honest. I think there was a lot of difficult emotion for Italy yesterday, and, you know, just horrible circumstances to have to play such an important match in.
What was the doctor's name, Matt?
Professor Pier Francesco Parra. And they had a shirt with the message "Ciao Doc" that was draped in front of the Italian bench, and all the players had black patches on their shirt in tribute as well.
Gosh, that's really, really moving. Just to go back very quickly to Mektić and Pavic, they teamed up together this year for the Olympics. Mm. I mean, obviously also because they thought they'd be successful partnership, but Nikola Mektić won the ATP finals last year with Wesley Kulhoff. He was in a fantastically successful partnership. So they won their last tournament the season and then split in order for Mektić and Pavic to get together in this Olympic year and play as a Croatian team, and places extra emphasis and pressure for them on this Davis Cup as well. So yeah, just sort of adds into your point about, you know, it's one thing just expecting them to win, but they've actually got to go out there and do it. And I think there's a really big difference in Davis Cup between having good doubles players in your team and having a good doubles team in your team. I think that is a massive difference. You know, the Bryan brothers, Mektić, Pavic, it's
they almost remind me of the Bryan brothers. They're almost like a couple of Jedis. They just seem to read each other's mind, and they're going zigzagging left and right. And I'm thinking, if you were an opposing returning team, how would you know where to put the ball? You can't guess where they're going. But they know, they're so in sync. If anybody manages to beat them as a doubles pairing, it will be absolutely fascinating if they did come up against Serbia and play Djokovic, just to see if Djokovic, as great as he is, could do anything about it.
I think he could. But we'll see. I'd love to see that. Absolutely love to see it. We might see it, depending on what happens between Serbia and Kazakhstan, because that is who Croatia will play in the semifinals.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking, and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life, and of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right.
Germany will face the winner of tomorrow's semi-final between Russia and Sweden. No, Thursday's semi-final between Russia and Sweden. And that is because Kevin Kravitz and Tim Poets just beat Neil Skubsky and Joe Salisbury in two tiebreak sets in the deciding doubles rubber to win that quarterfinal in a crowdless Innsbruck. That was after Dan Evans absolutely thrashed Peter Goyovchik. I mean, of all the people that are miserable tonight. I mean, well, actually, maybe. I mean, weird one for Peter Goyovchik, isn't it? Because he's just made it to the Davis Cup semi-finals, but he's had probably the most stinking day of his life on the tennis court. I don't know. I mean, sheepish celebrations for Peter, I'd imagine. Anyway, Jelena Struff did the business, came back and levelled it, beating Cameron Norrie in three sets. And then Kravitz and Puts did the business as well, very narrowly, coming back from five love down to win that second set tiebreak. But didn't start well for Germany or Peter Goyovchik, who's probably just standing, I don't know, I mean, I suppose there aren't celebrations, are there? They're making their way to Madrid, sat at the back of the bus, just pondering, singing along very quietly to the merry tunes on the bus.
I mean, it must be a weird feeling because surely he knows he's not going to play again. Like, I mean, after that performance.
Well, I wouldn't play him again,
I mean, I must say, Dan Evans was exceptional and he described it as some of the best tennis he's played all year, I think. And I think, you know, he said it actually, he was really nervous this morning and woke up with a bit of an edge. And he said in his press conference, he was angry and he wanted something to sort of, he needed an outlet to take that out. So he just practiced for longer. And Leon Smith said to him, this is great. This is exactly the energy I want from you. Bring that onto the match court. And he did. He was exceptional. But Goyovchik was awful. I mean, really, really bad. So many double faults. He was so nervous, I think. He said he didn't sleep the night before when he was told he was going to play. He just did not handle it at all well. And, you know, I think maybe the change was made because Dominic Kupfer has an 0-3 record against Dan Evans. But, you know, there were some close matches in there. Anyway, whatever the thinking behind that pick, it didn't work out. You know, maybe that experience would mean that if he did play again, he would handle it better. But, I mean, surely you wouldn't take a chance on him again after that.
How many of the millions are you getting?
Well, it's more. They're into the semis now.
You can't not give him any, can you?
Maybe you divide it up.
He's given up 10 days of his time, if not more.
Percentages of games accumulated for your team in the week, maybe.
Three games.
He won three. So he can have £3.
Anyway, yeah.
It sounds harsh, doesn't it? I mean, he did look
it
a bit
bad.
Awkward in the
it
sort of
bad.
in the pogo jumping that they did as a team at the end. And a big circle, he did look a bit awkward about it all, you know. Mm. But, you know, look, he's part of the team and he was cheering them on and all the rest of it.
Yes, he did great cheering. At least a five is worth of cheering, I'd say.
Hell of a comeback,
right,
though,
that man
it?
A check. You know, of a comeback.
To come and win, A, from having lost a first rubber like that. I mean, really, I felt as a British person who, yes, does want Britain to win just as a spectator, I felt very relaxed at that point, 1-0 up, with Cameron Norrie still to come, who I probably would have backed to beat Struff, really, at the start of that match. And if not, well, I mean, the thing is, you were talking about Djokovic. I saw Kravets and Puets beat Djokovic and his partner a couple of days earlier, so I knew how good they were as a doubles team. But I still thought that when it came down to it, Skupski and Salisbury would probably get it done in the end. So all credit to the German team for winning that. I think it's, and Struff, you know, to be playing a guy like Norrie who just gives you so little, and to keep going for the shots enough and backing yourself sufficiently to pull it off, like playing a percentage game of going for big shots almost. You know, if they go in, they go in.
Percentage game of low percentage.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he's so, I mean, he can. He's very confusing, Jelena Struff. He also could be described as agricultural, I think. at least in physique.
Hold on, I throw this agricultural references around here.
Is it okay? Well, is he or is he not a tad agricultural?
He is a bit, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. But don't be fooled by the backwards baseball cap, David.
Actually, my wife was watching both the Goya match and the Struff match, and she said she felt they had similar builds, these sort of coat-hanger shoulders, you know, and both tall guys as well.
He can make some absolutely hideous errors, Struff, that sort of professional tennis players don't make or shouldn't make. Some just sort of absurd shot selections that just don't even make it over the net or don't even make the court, let alone the tram lines. And he can also look like Pete Sampras. He's very confusing, and maybe this is experience and sort of getting to know and coming to terms with his game. Exactly as you say, David, he's unperturbed by the hideousness of those errors. He just regroups and goes, that's my game. I'm going to do this sometimes, but I probably won't do it next time. I might do it the time after that, but probably not next time. And it was such a contrast with Cam Norrie, whose game is so watertight. His shtick is, I'll give you nothing. You'll have to work for it. And Struff's policy is just being loose as a goose. I'll donate you a lot, but I'll also take a lot away from you. It was a really interesting contrast. I mean, there were patches of the match where it was not high quality, but it did end up being quite high drama and very entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, completely. I, for all the reasons you've said, I was backing Norrie really the entire time. Even when he didn't convert his two set points in the first set tiebreak and lost that set, he regrouped, took the second set, I think 6-2, pretty straightforwardly. And yeah, he's just so relentless physically, mentally, tennistically, as Garbiñe Muguruza would say. He just sort of forces Struff to play at a high level. And yet Struff managed to do that enough times. I just didn't think he would be able to, but he pulled it off when it mattered. So huge credit to him for that. He kept going for his shots and they paid off.
Yeah, and then out come Tim Poets and Kevin Kravitz and... I mean, it was so nip and tuck, wasn't it? I mean, both sets, I did feel like, please just fast forward to the tiebreak, particularly the second one. I don't think there was a single break point in the second set. The first set tiebreak was epic, absolutely epic. Again, not always brilliantly high quality in terms of, you know, the nerves were a massive factor, but in a way that made it, you know, just fantastically dramatic and entertaining. Nobody wanted the lead. That was kind of a theme of the match. Nobody wanted the lead. It was everybody like a hot potato.
Everybody went to pieces when they were in the lead, really, yeah. In those tiebreaks. And I mean, that ended up 12-10, that first set tiebreak. And Britain had 6-4 and didn't take those two set points. Now, you've just described, Matt, how Norrie had two set points in that first set as well against Struff. And then, as you were saying earlier, Catherine, Skupski and Salisbury are up 5-0 in the second set tiebreak. They're going to have some sleepless nights tonight, those three, aren't they, between them? I mean, I couldn't do it. I think that they fought their hearts out. And I didn't actually think they did an awful lot wrong. I felt like the German team came up with some incredible shot making when their backs were against the wall. And they also had one of the loveliest tactics I've seen on a court. I don't think I've ever seen it before, of lob and charge. You know, just sort of lob it over the head, land it on the baseline and charge to the net and say, right, get it past us. I've very rarely seen that as a tactic before. But, you know, it's going to really sting, that defeat, because you could argue that Britain really should have won it overall. If you look at it like that, a one-up after the first rubber, they've had set points in the first set of the second rubber, they've had set points in the first set of the third rubber, they had five love and they haven't won it.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think it will be a morose place, the GB camp right now. I hope that's how they see it, that they should have won it. I hope this will fuel them for the future, but absolutely, I think it will be regret-tastic in Camp Team GB. Maybe they can grab a drink with Peter Goyovchik and share a different but sort of similar vibe.
No offence, but they're a bit better than them. On the day, you know. I'm sure he'll be amazing in a couple of days' time if he gets drafted in.
He's not getting drafted
in. No, he's
in.
Not. No. There's a...
They'll have Tim Poets playing singles before they'll have
Peter. Tell you what, Tim Poets is a hell of a player.
There's a small silver lining to be found, potentially, for Great Britain in that defeat...
Is it the £1 million?
It's defeat in the quarterfinals means that they're guaranteed, I should say, unless they get a wild card into the next year's finals, but they're guaranteed to have a qualifier. And they didn't get a qualifier last time because they reached the semis and were automatically through to the finals. So if you want home and away tie in this new format of Davis Cup, kind of losing at the stage they've lost at is not too bad. So they will get a qualifier, could be away, could be home. But I think if it's at home, they will love that tie and embrace that. So there's a sort of silver lining there potentially further down the road.
Yes. Okay. Very, very good point. I'm sure that's what they're all thinking about now. Yes. Yes. Talk of the town in Team GB. So Germany through to face the winners of Russia and Sweden. You'd all due respect to Sweden, they've done really well. They've been great to watch, but you've got to think that's Russia. So Germany against Russia, most likely. Kazakhstan against Serbia could be interesting. That one, I mean, you'd probably back Serbia. I would probably back Serbia. But as you were saying, Matt, I mean, Kazakhstan kind of defy the odds in this competition, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, obvious point, they're going to need to win that first singles. Because, you know, if they lose that, Bublik against Djokovic, look, we know Bublik's talent.
Could be a slightly more awkward chat you'll be having with him tomorrow evening.
I'm looking forward to those seven questions.
He was that chippy after a win.
You are not allowed to dodge that press conference, Matt. That is an order. Right then, I think that's it for this evening, unless anyone has anything else to add. I've got some pet mascot news to add. We've got Mocha this week. Mocha is a lovely chocolate lab. So smiley. We've had three lovely pictures of Mocha, I think. One features a tennis ball. Great. Very on brand. Mocha understood the assignment. He's 17 months old and he's owned by Ryan. So well done, Ryan, on having a lovely dog. We like Mocha. Mocha will feature in our newsletter and on our Instagram channels, because I'm in charge of our Instagram channels and I try and put animals on there as much as possible. Speaking of which, Billie Jean took herself to bed and has remained there throughout this recording.
She had one look at me on the Zoom and she said, I'll tell you what, I'll leave it.
She heard David's voice coming through the laptop, trotted through, took a look at the screen and turned around, went back to bed.
It's kind of like, that's not Matt. See you later.
She was saying hello, David. It was all the energy she had left.
Okay.
She's been at daycare today. Anyway, she's sponsored by Billie Jean King. We each are sponsored by Scouse and Mouse or Rogue and Zeus. David and I, for Rogue and Zeus, still have skin in the game. Matt has none. Sorry. Apologies to Scouse or Mouse. Chris Albert Lee is our executive producer. And we have a shout out, Matt.
We have a very special shout out for Barbara Law.
Aww.
Right, I was Mom. Just about to say, is it someone that lives with David?
Near, not quite lives nearby. With.
Hello, Barbara.
I have finally left home.
I didn't swear today or anything. It's as if I knew.
Special
that you
occasion,
were going to
Mom.
Be our shout out.
We've got Catherine on her best behaviour and everything.
Yes, yes. Sorry, Barbara, for all the swearing on previous podcasts. We do try. We do try. Thank you very much for your support. We'll be back with our next tennis podcast after the next two quarterfinals, so Thursday evening, to round up those two ties between Serbia, Kazakhstan and Russia and Sweden, and to look ahead to the semi-finals, which will of course be played along with the final in Madrid over the weekend. Matt will be there doing one-on-ones in a massive press conference room with all the players and eating churros in the evening. David and I will be in our respective locations and lapping it all up. So until Thursday, subscribe to the newsletter. I'm just remembering all the things. Until Thursday, subscribe to the newsletter. Leave us an Apple Podcasts review. Subscribe to the reminder email to support us on our new platform, which will be launching from Wednesday of next week. We are joining the supporting cast family. More news to be forthcoming, unless you want me to add some now, David.
Friends of the Tennis Podcast. You can become a friend.
You can become
a friend. You're already our friends. It's just a marketing ploy to, you know.
If you would like to financially and formally be recognised as our friend, then that facility will become available to you from Wednesday next week.
And you get bonus stuff.
But bonus stuff also available. It'll be great, I promise you. I will make it sound as great as it actually is.
We're going to work on our selling, folks, in the next week.
David's going to drill me.
Didn't you last week compare it to private health insurance?
Which is great. I've got private health insurance. Takes the pressure off the NHS.
Go on the show notes. Get on the reminder list. Yeah. And then you'll
just
find
out
all
the show notes. Yeah. That's got all the information that you need. Very much better explained than I've just done. We'll speak to you on Thursday. Thanks for listening.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.